وأستغفره. أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him, and I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Inshallah, today we continue in our classes concerning the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam lil-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. And we're still dealing with the chapter concerning business transaction. And alhamdulillah, we had covered up to hadith number 726. And before we proceed in our class today, which is considered class number 9 for the album number 4, I would like to refer you to hadith which in page number 299, that last week I was not sure from the authenticity of the hadith. Hadith number 722 in page number 299, the hadith is authentic. And hadith number 724 in page number 300, the hadith is weak. As for today, inshallah, our class is going to be chapter number 6, and this concerning bankruptcy. This is page number 301 from the book Bulugh al-Maram. وعن أبي بكر ابن عبد الرحمن عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من أدرك ماله بعينه عند رجل قد أفلس فهو أحق به من غيره. This hadith, which reported by Abu Bakr, son of Abdul Rahman, and from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, as a hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim. The hadith is authentic that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, is saying, we hear the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, if a creditor finds his very poverty with a debtor who becomes bankrupt, he is more entitled to it than anyone else. Alright. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving us more rules and regulation concerning transaction and dealing with one another. The person who may sell his product to somebody and this person was supposed to pay him, as example, later on in a month time, in a year time, or he take it in consumption, or he will take the product and he pay him like every couple of months, and something had happened to the buyer, something had happened to the buyer that caused some kind of destruction to his products, or alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, something happened to his business. As a result of this, this person, the buyer, he became a bankrupt. That means he didn't have the ability to manage and to continue anymore his business. Okay? So he could not pay the money back to the seller. Somebody come and he stole the property, or he took his money, or the man lost, to understand, his wallet, whatever had happened to him. As a result of this, he became in a hardship and difficulty that he could not give the money to the person who had gave him the product. So now the creditor, the person who had sold this item to him, he will go to his store, and if he found his product, the same product, on the shelf, he has the right over it to take it before anybody else. Okay? This only if he what? If he found the same product there still existed. So from this hadith we understand that Islam allows the creditor to gain some, if it's not all, okay, at least some of, to cover his loss. Okay? And that what he's doing is not injustice, that this is his right, because this is his product which he had given it to the buyer in advance to take his money later on. Now if this person happened to take some of the money, as example, I sell you this products for $200 and you gave me already $50, okay, you give me already a portion of the price, and now I got bankrupt. Now you did not have the right to come and take your product that is still on the shelf, because I already had paid you some part of this price. Okay? Although that this is still your own products. Okay? But I had paid you already some. Why now? Because there is other people are involved. There is other creditors are involved. So since I had paid you part of this money, now you could not come and take your brother which is still sitting on the shelf. But if I didn't pay you anything, and the actual product still on the shelf. Now you have the right more than anybody else. You come and you take it before anybody else can take it. The hadith, which a portion of another narration, يوم رجل باع متاعا فأفلس الذي ابتاعه ولم يقبض الذي باعه من ثمنه شيئا فوجد متاعه بعينه فهو أحق به وإن مات المشتري فصاحب المتاع أسوة الغرماء. This hadith is authentic. Okay, now this is a different case. Now the hadith is authentic, this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Ibn Abdul Barr, Imam Malik, and Sheikh Al-Albani have authenticated this hadith. So this is a different case now. If one sells some goods on credit and the one who buys them becomes bankrupt and does not repay any of the price to the seller, who then finds his very goods with him, he is more entitled to them than anyone else. But if the buyer, this which what we just talked about in the first hadith, the second condition, if the buyer dies, okay, the one who bought, okay, he bought the product, now he dies, now the owner, which is the seller, okay, of the goods, is then equal to the other creditors. So he will come and he sees his product on the shelf, he could not take it. Why? Because there is other creditors, and this case is different now, because the person who had bought the product from you is dead now. So you could not say, this beans or this oil is mine. Okay? Now we're going to sell the product that's sitting on the shelf, and we're going to give every one of the creditors his share. Okay? So when is the seller will be, has the right over his product? In one case. What is the case? That, or three cases, or three conditions, that he did not receive any portion of the price, that he will find the same product, and that the buyer is still what? Still alive. Otherwise, he will be what? He will be equal like anybody else from the creditors. The next portion of hadith is weak, so we're going to leave it alone, and we'll go in page number 303. Hadith number 728. وعن عمر ابن الشريد عن أبيه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لي الواجد يحل عرضه وعقوبته. رواه أبو داود والنسائي وعلقه البخاري وصححه ابن حبان. This hadith is حسن, is good. This hadith which reported by Amr ibn Sharid. And this hadith in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, Al-Nisa'i, and Ibn Hibban, that lay means to give a hard time to your creditor. Okay? A person who sells a product, this is a creditor, the buyer now, okay? The buyer has the means. He has the means. He can pay. But he's trying to give the man hard time. Give who hard time? The seller.
So as a result of this, this will give the right to the seller that he can speak against him, and that he will go to complain about him, take him to the court, and get him in trouble. Why? Because he has the means. If the person does not have the means, will be a different story. But since the seller been good to you, and he credited you the product, that you should be also nice to him, and whenever you get the chance to pay back, pay it. But oh yeah, I really thinking about understand to expand the business a little bit more, and I want to buy this more, but you have the money, okay? And the time is in already, you should pay him. Now, if you don't pay him, this will give the creditor the right, if he say, as example about you, this person is not fair, so now he's not backbiting you, okay? He's not fair, he didn't deal with me justly, and you understand he did not pay my money back. So you have gave him the right to speak against you. And now he is not sinner by doing this. Hadith goes that delay in payment on the part of one who possesses the means makes it lawful to dishonor and punish him. Okay? Not punish him that he go and, as example, steal his products or take his car because he bought me under, he owed me such and such. But he will go to the authority and found the proper channel to get his money. Hadith number 729. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أصيب رجل في عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ثمار ابتاعها فكثر دينه فأفلس فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تصدقوا عليه فتصدق الناس عليه ولم يبلغ ذلك وفاء دينه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خذوا ما وجدتم وليس لكم إلا ذلك. The hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, the hadith is authentic. This man who had a trouble with his garden, with his fruits, with his vegetables, some kind of calamity happened and cause destruction to the product which he was planning to sell and make money out of it. Okay? And as a result of this, he was not able to pay his debt to the people. Okay? That he bought fruits which is still on the tree and got destroyed, or he already bought fruit which he will have it and somebody come steal it, or a flood come and destroy it, or whatever, something, a destruction had happened to what he had got, which he had got it on credit. Okay? So now he became in a lot of debts. So as a result of this, he don't have the means to pay. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the community, the general body of the Muslims, to assist the man, to give a charity towards paying his credit or his debts. So the people, everybody tried to help to the best of his ability. But what the community brought was not enough to pay the debt of the man. He got in a big business, big debt, big money, okay? And now he have to pay all these people. He doesn't have any. The community give assistance, but what the community give was what? Was not enough. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this condition, he said to the debtors, to those people still asking for their money, he said, take whatever you find of his belongs and nothing else. This is it. Because the man, he has no choice, he has no control over what happened to him. And now as a result of this, we try to ask for help from the community, and the community give what they can. So now whatever you found is belong to this man from his property, you can get it. But even what has been collected by the community and whatever left the man has was not enough to cover his debt, so there is nothing beyond this. You could not punish him, you could not slander him, you could not jail him. So everybody now have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him about his loss, and they could not do anything beyond this. Hadith number 729, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, from Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a man suffered loss affecting fruits he had bought, owed a large debt, and became bankrupt. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people, give him sadaqah. They did so, but that was not enough to repay his debt in full. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the creditors, take what you can find, and you will have nothing other than this. Okay? Page number 304, hadith number 730, the hadith is weak. Again, page number 304, hadith number 730, the hadith is weak. Next hadith, hadith number 731 from the same page. وعن ابن عمر وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه تعالى رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال عرضت على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم أحد وأنا ابن 14 سنة فلم يجزني وعرضت عليه يوم الخندق وأنا ابن 15 سنة فأجازني متفق عليه. If we look in the chapter, the title of the chapter, bankruptcy and was it seizure?
Seizure.
Okay. Seizure, that mean like putting stop to something. Okay, or refrain somebody to act in his property or to do, take action. That means you as in a charge, as a wakil or as an imam or a ruler, whatever your position in the community or the society, you will stop somebody to act in certain to carry certain action. Okay, if this is action dealing with spending his own property, because sickness, because he's still young, not mature enough, okay, for whatever reason. So this hadith is coming about seizure, to stopping somebody from certain action. The hadith is from Ibn Amr, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, I've been presented before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the day of Uhud, the battle of Uhud. And I was 14 years old during this time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not permitted me to participate in the battlefield. Okay? So Ibn Amr, he was 14 years old and he was ready for jihad. Okay? At least, if it's not physically, that he was mature enough in his spiritual in his understanding about the deen, and he want to go and help in the cause of Allah, even if it caused him to lose his life. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not permit him to do so. But when the next battle came, which is the Khandaq, the ditch, I've been brought forward to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in that time he permitted me to participate in the battlefield. So according to some of the scholars, they see the age of puberty for the boy is 15 years old, and that he's not allowed to participate in the battlefield before he reaches this age. Neither he is permitted to be given his own property before he reaches this age. Okay, as example, if his father dies, okay, and he left a wealth behind him, and the portion of this child, let's say as example, $2 million, okay, so now we're going to have a wakil or a guardian which is going to be acting in the behalf to be responsible about this child until he will reach a certain age that he will be able to utilize his property and his wealth in the right way. Or otherwise, by the time he reach age of puberty, he'll be destroying, spending all this money, okay? Whatever he's going to be spending in, okay? So certain people can be seized or can be stopped from doing certain action, even if the action itself is lawful. Okay, the action itself, like this child or this young man, he want to be going in jihad. Jihad is permissible, it's something good, but because his age, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped him. A person can be old enough, but because the way how he acting, he's not mature enough to handle his property. So the imam, he has the right to stop him of utilizing his property, and the imam will take a charge, and he will spend it in whatever way he will see it to fit. As example, a woman or a girl could not go and give herself in marriage. You see? So her guardian, her wali, is the one in charge of her, although that she's old enough and all these things, but for other reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made somebody else to give her in marriage. Okay? So from this hadith we see that certain people can be stopped from doing certain action, and that the age of 15 is the age that will be considered that the person or a boy, a young man, be responsible to be responsible about his action, and before this that he still considered as a young man that is not reached the age of responsibility. The next hadith, hadith number 732 in page number 305. وعن عطية القرظي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال عرضنا على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم قريظة فكان من أنبت قتل ومن لم ينبت خلي خلى سبيله فكنت ممن لم ينبت فخلى سبيلي. رواه الأربعة. This hadith, which in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, An-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Ibn Hibban, and Al-Hakim. The hadith reported by Atiyah al-Qurazi, the hadith is authentic, that after the battle of Bani Qurayza. Okay. Which was a battle against the Jewish. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told the people who fought against him, and he killed the men, and some of them been exempted from the killing. Okay. So the person that reached the age of puberty, and he was participating in fighting the Muslims, been killed. And Atiyah was one of the people that been saved out of killing for a reason that because he was not having a hair in the on his private parts. So they used to expose the people that they did not, could not tell by their age if he reached age of puberty or no. So if they found that they have grown hair in their private parts, they will be killed. If not, he will be saved from the killing. So Ibn Atiyah, so Atiyah al-Quradhi, he said, I was one of those people that I did not have hair on my private parts in that time, so I've been saved from the killing. So this also to tell us that one of the means of a person to reach the puberty is growing hair in the private parts. Hadith number 733 وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبي عن جدي أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يجوز لامرأة عطية إلا بإذن زوجها. Okay, again talking about seizure. Okay, to stop somebody or to hold somebody of doing such action. That this hadith which reported by عمر Ibn Sha'ib from his father, from his grandfather, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not permissible for a woman to give anything away without her husband's permission. Okay? That a woman is not, does not have the right to give away anything from the property of her husband without his permission. Neither she supposed to give out of her own property without her husband permission. And some of the scholars, they understood about her property that she has the right to give, okay, as well as hers. And that the hadith here to show that is makruh, okay, that means it is disliked, is not prohibited, but is disliked. And some of the scholars, they use the hadith that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went and gave khutbah, and after he finished the khutbah of Eid, he went to the gathering of women, him and Bilal, and he addressed the women and told them to give charity, because he saw them to be the most dweller of hellfire. So some of the women, they start to take from their jewelry, their earrings, their necklaces, and throw it in the soap of Bilal. Like using your jilbab like this, or your kameez as like like a bag. So the women used to take from their jewelry and throw it in his soap. So the scholars, they said that the women were sitting a distance from their husbands, okay, and with no permission being given to them previously, because they don't know what the Prophet ﷺ going to talk to them about. So they had acted already, giving away certain things without asking their husbands. So the scholar, they understood from this hadith to be what? that for a purpose of dislike, but not prohibited. But nevertheless, we understand that the woman supposed to obey her husband. So if her husband told her not to give anything away without his permission, regardless if it's his or hers, she still have to obey him. Okay? She still have to obey him. And the hadith is good. Hadith number 700. The hadith, there is another version of this hadith before we go away from it. See, a version has, it is not lawful for a woman to dispose of anything regarding her property when her husband is responsible for her. What you mean by responsible for her? That means now he already married her. Okay, that means she under his supervision. Okay, so as long she under his supervision, now she's not supposed to be acting without in things without his permission, and Allah knows best. Hadith number 734 وعن قبيصة وعن قبيصة ابن مخارق الهلالي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن المسألة لا تحل إلا لأحد ثلاثة: رجل تحمل حمالة فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قوما ثم يمسك، ورجل أصابته جائحة اجتاحت ماله فحلت له المسألة حتى يصيب قوما من عيش، ورجل أصابته فاقة حتى يقول ثلاثة من ذوي الحجة من قومه لقد أصابت فلانا فاقة فحلت له المسألة. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim and talks about the prohibition or the seriousness of begging and asking. Okay, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith show us the seriousness of begging people, and this will be like shumukh or scratches in the face of the believer in the day of the judgment. Asking the people, begging the people is very bad, and a Muslim have to be beyond this position. Okay, and the more that you ask people and beg people, the more that you have these scratches in your face when you come to meet Allah. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that begging is not permissible except in three conditions. Okay, now the first condition, that iman tahammala hamala. What this mean? There is two parties. It can be in business or can be in anything else, okay? Because we're still talking about business transaction, so the hadith coming under this chapter. So somebody buy and somebody sold, and now became some kind of argument and dispute about how much I owe you, how much is this, and became a fight, and it may be bring about bloodshed. If you are not paying me by such time, and I'm going to do this to you, and. So somebody from the community will come and get to hear about this problem, and he try to make peace between the two. Okay? He was trying to bring about peace between the two. So as a result, now he get to know that what's involved is $10,000. He doesn't have $10,000 himself. So now, to make peace between these two, he's going to go to the community and try to beg or ask or solicit money to try to do what? To pay this man his money so he did not harm the other person and he can finish this problem. So now Islamically he been allowed to go, okay, to go and solicit this money, or that he went and paid from his own pocket. and was not enough, or that he paid from his pocket to such a degree he brought himself to be in the hole, and now he could not even know how to take care of himself. Okay? So somebody got himself in the middle between two to make peace between them. So now it's permissible for him to say, listen, until he have enough fun to take care of this problem. Okay? The second one, that a man that jaiha had happened to him, like been calamity hit him and destroy all his crops, as example, and he owe people money, he don't even have enough money to pay his rent, all things like this. So this man has the right to go to solicit until he can cover what you call to be above the water.
Yeah.
Huh? Not to go to keep soliciting until he become rich. Okay? But he will go to solicit money to pay what he owes the people, and at least he can get himself out of the trouble that he in. He'll be able to have the basic for him to survive. And a person, the third person, who has been smitten by poverty. Okay, this was not his case, but finally something happened, a fire happened in his house, he lost the truck he was driving, and whatever it is, and now he don't have even the basic to live with. Other than this, the Muslim have to be above this begging or stretching his hand asking the people, because this is not something that encouraged in al-Islam or loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go to the next chapter, which is chapter number 7, and this in page number 306 from the same book, Bulugh al-Maram. Hadith number 735. وعن عمرو بن عوف المزني رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الصلح جائز بين المسلمين إلا صلحا حرم حلالا أو أحل حراما والمسلمون على شروطهم إلا شرطا حرم حلالا أو أحل حراما. The hadith reported by Amr ibn Auf, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is authentic, inshallah. And sulh basically to settle dispute between two groups or two individuals, okay? And these individuals can be a husband and wife, can be a brother and brother, can be a community and community, can be a country and a country, okay? Two parties. How big the parties, how small the parties, doesn't matter. Excuse me. So, you try to settle or to reach some kind of agreement, okay, to put conditions, rules, to see how you can come with a solution to the problem which can be satisfactory to both parties who are involved. This is what you call it, a sulh, reconciliation. Okay, this is the chapter is about. Okay, so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said as-sulh jaiz bayn al-muslimin. Sulh, make it to make peace, to reconcile between Muslims, is lawful. Okay, it's permissible, it's something good. Okay, regardless if this about marriage, if And you notice that this coming under the chapter again, what? Business. So that means, number one, we apply this to what? To business transaction. Because somebody bought and somebody sold and somebody didn't pay and somebody still owe money, all the things. So basically the hadith referring to this, but does not mean this is a limitation of the hadith. You see? Or somebody does a contract with the other brother, say, you make me the web page and I pay you $500 and say I finish it in a month's time, and after this and the month's time is over and you already draw, you understand, $300.50, and so you come, you try, you talk to this brother, I say, okay, brother.com as example, you try to do it, you understand, in the next week time, and your brother, okay, you owe him $150, okay, what about, what, you drop, you understand, this is $50, and you try to extend the time for another 5 days, you try to reach something which will be satisfactory for both of them and for both to stop the argument and the debates over this issue. So a sulh to reconcile between the Muslims is okay, permissible, with exception. Sulh, reconcile as a result, okay, that will turn the halal to haram and the haram to halal. You could not, okay? You will try to reach it to conclusion to be satisfactory to both, but with condition that you could not, you okay? At the Mubdi. Imam. Okay. Inshallah, we give you a time before Salat al-Maghrib. Oh, thank you. Okay. Accept a condition that will make something haram or something what? Haram halal. You could not. Why? Because it's not for the benefit of the Muslims, okay, you're going to transgress the limits of Allah. You want to turn it? Habib, go ahead.